This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Well, Happy New Year to all of you. I don't know, you still have a few days to say that to somebody, but somewhere in January, you just got to take the year on and give it a good go. But hopefully we're all excited this year for what's about to come. 2020, a new decade. Huh? Huh? The 40s. For you. You look good, man. We stayed awake till 2020. Come on, let me see. There's a few of you. Old people. Where's the old people? They assume they're the rest. No. You woke up in 2020. Okay, the rest of you, you woke up. And a year, it was last year when you went to bed and you woke up the following year. But I know sometimes it's difficult for us. It was difficult for me as well to stay awake till that time. We stayed with friends and we literally looked at the watch and it's like another 30 minutes. So we just made it. And as soon as we entered in, we went to bed. But and we've done this, and I've also woke up in 2020 in the past as well, and I stayed awake. But irrelevant, I think. I thought about this. You know, there's a small window between that 2019 and 2020 where we just hope that something would take place in that. We wait for that 2020, and listen, this is all man-made because time is not given by God; it's us. You know, God lives in eternity. You know, it blows our mind anyway. So, I mean, when I start to think around that, then everything burns down. But it's something in our world, between 2019, 2020, 2021, 2021, that between that last second when the clock ticks, and there's a small window that I see is quite often common to all of us here this morning. That window where we wish each other the best for the year, where we all hope that it's going to be a better year. Amen, huh? Come on. Didn't you hope that it's going to be a better year than the previous one? Huh? You hope for good relationships. You hope for good health, finances. I don't know what it might be, but all of us deep down in ourselves think about this year that's gone, and we think, well, you know what? Some things happened, and I didn't see that coming, and I didn't want that to happen, but it happened. And then we look forward towards 2020, and we hope, listen, this year is going to be the year. Okay, and maybe in 2021, but that pattern occurs all the time because it's this one thing that I sense is there between those 2 years, between the switch over from the 19 to the 20, from 20 to 21, is that one word called hope. Huh? If we didn't have hope, how would we enter into this year and just sit here this morning and just, I guess we sit here this morning because we have kind of hope that, you know, God, you are our God. We were singing this song, and it's just such a beautiful song. It just blesses what I wanted to say this morning, that God fights for us. He's the one that moves on our behalf. But if we haven't got hope this morning, people, what have we got? Nothing, eh? But deep down, even if you do not know Christ this morning, I assume that many of us, irrespective of where we find ourselves, we have that secret hope that things would change in our lives, or that things would go better, and that things would be, oh man, I will be on the top of the world. And I don't want to go too deep too soon, although Jesus is the ultimate hope of us. That is the only hope that we have this morning. It's not that I'm going to have a bigger job or get more money or something else that would come along my way, or this is the year that I buy my house, or this is the year that I buy that car, or this is the year that... There will probably be some sort of, I don't want to say hope, but joy, but it would just be there for a moment. And ultimately, we still seek for something more. And I think from time to time, Jesus moves us to that place that he strips us, even within the church, in our environment, with what we do and all of that, that he's the ultimate and he's the only one, that we realize it's just about him. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're very quiet in the 25th of January. Preach with me here this morning, please. I don't know about your year, but I'm starting to look forward towards what God is about to do. And I'll probably share in 2 weeks' time what I sense God is saying to us. But this morning, just just want to share on a few things, because we still have a mixed audience. Some of you are still here on holiday, so I assume we all as human beings have common ground here, irrespective of whether you visit here this morning. But we all look forward to towards 2020, and towards this year, and we don't know what's waiting for us. Or do you know, perhaps? Okay, so can we just agree we all don't know? None of us in this building knows exactly what's about to happen. And there might be some good things, but the reality is there might be some bad things happening as well. Right? And we don't want to hear that sometimes. There might be some good challenges, and there might be some bad challenges. This will be a bit so far. But in reality, irrespective of how our journey looks like, God sends us down this path in 2020, and whether you want to do it or not, you got to move into it. You know, you can sit here this morning and say, no, I'm not entering into 2020. That's not going to change anything. You got to walk the journey. You got to decide to make or decide to move with God and say, Lord, here I am. Bring it on. Whatever is coming my way. But even for the less nice places, for the places where we do not want to go sometimes, for the challenges that we might face. Sometimes I think about it this way. I reflect upon the previous year and I think, you know what? Look at all the people that are not here with us anymore. And I treasure people. Because I don't know who will be with me in this year, who needs to go, I almost want to say. Because we are just temporary here on earth. But irrespective of how our journey looks like, and it's easy in the good times, but the tough times, it's sometimes more difficult. I have figured out that when God sends us down this journey, He's definitely created some safe spaces for us to abide in those places. So that even when we get the tough moments, God in His goodness has created a safe space for all of us to function. It doesn't take us away from the onslaughts, but in a way He protects us there. It's still going to come. We cannot excuse ourselves from that. We cannot prevent that. It's coming, you know. But God creates a safe space. And I want to talk this morning for a quick moment on the safe spaces in life that God has created. And hopefully during this year, as you journey down this year, that you will remember these three things which I see in a story here in Scripture, that we always remember these things because that will create the safe space for all of us to function. And the story happens, it takes place in 2 Kings 18. Let me give you some background. There was one night between good news and bad news. That's how suddenly things change in our lives, you know. Tomorrow morning you can go to the doctor, and I don't want to say that, but I say that's the reality sometimes. And you hear bad news. And I'm not saying you're dying, but it's sometimes news that we didn't want to hear. And the story takes place in 2 Kings 18 when the king Hezekiah became king. He was the king. He became king when he was 25 years old. He reigned in Judah at that time. This was after Solomon died. So the kingdom was split in two. They had Jerusalem and Judah. And Jerusalem was the capital of Judah with two of the tribes. And then the other 10 tribes with Samaria as the capital. Hoshea, the king of Israel, were reigning there for about 3 years. And then in the other kingdom, King Hezekiah, the one we're going to focus on this morning, became king at the age of 25 years old. And he reigned in that kingdom about 29 years. And he was one of the best kings Israel ever had. Bible said that he broke down all the sacred places, even the serpent that Moses made for them to look at the serpent. Those of you can remember when they were in the desert, and then a pest struck them. God said, "Make a serpent," and they had to look at the serpent, which was a picture of Jesus to come that would save. But eventually, what man did is they started worshiping that actual image, and that became idolatry. And so, Hezekiah broke that down. He cleansed Israel, and the Bible says there was none like him before or after that. So he was a good man. And for 14 years he reigned, and then after 14 years, one night, or just before that, what took place is Israel fell into sin, and then the king of Assyria came and took them captive. So Judah remained standing for that time, which Hezekiah was still king. And then one morning, after Israel has already been captured, he wakes up, and the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, is on his doorstep. Oh man, that's not good news to wake up. And army and fighting back then was different. You didn't fly around with a drone. Nowadays, I think, you know, you sit in a safe room playing computer games. It's literally how they're going to make war, I think. I mean, they sit and send a drone in, kill people. I mean, it's just so different back then. You had to face your enemy, and you would look around, and it's, I want to say, hundreds of thousands of people around your city, and you know there's trouble. And imagine that when the king woke up, you know, he was a good king. He did the right things, but one morning he woke up with the bad news, and the bad news is on his doorstep. And then what happened is the army, the commander of the army of Assyria started to intimidate the people. Now imagine, the people hear the news. I mean, you can't keep quiet about that. Everybody sees that. Who's there on the outside? They have got walled cities around them, walled in there, and now we've got the enemy on the outside. What are we about to do? They take position at the well where the water flows into the city. So this is trouble waiting. Would you agree with me? Bad news. Bad, bad, bad news. And then people, all the curious ones are up on the roof. They're looking there with binoculars. Ali Otani, sorry, means it. Okay, no, that was just a joke. That was just a joke. Okay, don't shoot me for that. Ali, well, oh, worms work. Shoot me then. Okay. But all the curious ones, okay, we all need one another, okay. They were the lookouts, the watchmen. We call them, well, it's become spiritual. I have to get out of this hole now. Anyway, they're on the wall, and the Bible says that Hezekiah sent his administrator to go and speak to the army commander, the palace administrator, the treasury, and all of it. Three men, they're on the wall there. And the man, the army commander, stands at the bottom there, and he starts to have a conversation with them inside there. And he says, listen, you and your God, you are so small. Who are you to think that you would make it against the mighty king of Israel? And he literally defies God. And he says, you know what? Just surrender. And interesting, and we'll look at it just in a moment. He says, God send us to come and fight against you. And then he starts to speak. Well, he speaks in Aramaic, and then he wants to speak in Hebrew. And listen here. What happens is the official says to him, listen, don't speak to us in Hebrew because the rest of the people will understand what you're trying to say. So he's trying to sow fear amongst the people and trying to infiltrate them and manipulate them and intimidate them. Okay? And then actually he did that. He spoke in Hebrew so that the people would turn their hearts towards the king. He says, okay, don't listen to Hezekiah. Listen to me. Surrender. So he's trying to sow division within the city as well at the same time. Confusion, deception, and division. Chaos, man. Chaos. And Hezekiah is back there busy and worrying. And then what happens is Hezekiah did the right thing. He goes back to the Lord. Goes to Isaiah the prophet. Sends him a message. And there's something beautiful that's taking place. Isaiah comes back with a message, says, listen, don't be too worried about them. Lord will take care of this. And then the rest of the story, maybe I should tell it, and then we'll come back to some of these points. The beautiful thing, this is one of those stories in Scripture that you just got to say, God, you are God. So they spread out all the news, and they go to bed. After I don't know how many nights. But the Bible says, the next morning, imagine this. I want you to see this in your eyes. Faith. The next morning they woke up, and the angel of the Lord came overnight and killed, listen, 185,000 soldiers. Boom, overnight. Just finish it off. They woke up, problem solved. I mean, praise God for that, huh? Don't you want to serve that kind of God? And here's the thing. There was a safe place for them for that moment. There's a couple of things, three things I noticed in this story. And listen, the story is so rich. We can probably preach in this hours and hours and discover so much in this. But there's three things I noticed in this story that's so relevant to us today. Look at this scripture here in 2 Kings 18, verse 14. 2 Kings 18, verse 14. What happens after Hezekiah receives the bad news when he heard? Because what also happened is the king of Assyria demanded some ransom. They had to pay to the king of Assyria. And Hezekiah refused to pay. For years he said, no, we're not going to pay any money to you. That's not yours. So eventually the king enters with his army, and then he insists that that Hezekiah would pay. And then fear grips. And here's the thing about Scripture. Scripture doesn't just tell us about the good things that happened. It also tells us about the mistakes that people make, which I love. God, we learn from that. To look at the story. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. I have done wrong. He's been a good king. He didn't pay him. All of this. It's all, listen, he's been doing right, but now suddenly he changes his mind. I have done wrong. I will pay you whatever tribute money you demand if you will only withdraw. Would you agree with me? That's fear coming in suddenly. When the enemy settles, he's trying to get you to compromise, and you change your tune suddenly. The king of Assyria then demanded the settlement of more than 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. We can do with that to finish the church building. But anyway, together this amount, King Hezekiah, and I want you to notice this, what happened here, because this is very relevant here. King Hezekiah used all the silver stored in the temple of the Lord and in the palace treasury. Hezekiah even stripped the gold from the doors of the Lord's temple and from the doorpost he had overlaid with gold, and he gave it all to the Assyrian king. Is it up to there? Yeah. Another verse, 17. Nevertheless, the king of Assyria sent, nevertheless, this is after he received the money, after he received all the gold, the king of Assyria sent his commander-in-chief, his field commander, and his chief of staff from Lachish with a huge army to confront King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. The Syrians took up a position beside the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool. We'll stop there. So here's the thing. I figured out Hezekiah made the mistake, which we probably all from time to time do or have done, which I've done, and which I am not protected from not doing again. When pressure mounts, we tend to compromise sometimes in areas where we're not supposed to compromise. Do you agree with me? We sometimes think, you know what, let me take from this. Let me just compromise here, then it will keep that king happy. I'm talking prophetically here this morning, people. We make that mistake sometimes to take where we're not supposed to take something. Our time, whatever it might be. We spend our capital, and then we expect that we would earn still the same amount of interest. And it doesn't work like that. There's an area in our lives that God has set apart and said, don't compromise there. That should become a non-negotiable in your life, and we all should know that. I challenge you this morning. Listen to me. I challenge you. If you haven't got non-negotiables in your life, you better sit down very quickly before this year starts and figure out, what are my non-negotiables? What are the things that cannot move? What are the things that I cannot compromise? Because here's the thing. The winds are going to blow. The storms are going to come. And if I am not going to, or if I make a decision this morning, listen, this is not on the table for discussion. You need to settle that. Because somebody's going to come and bargain with you. And he's knocking at your door, trying to enter in and tell you, listen, can we talk about this? Listen, this is non-negotiable. My kids, I give them pocket money, not so that they would have money. Listen, I give them money so that they learn to work with money, so they can become good stewards. And I guess it's the same for all of us. We learn these things to become good stewards. And God says to all of us this morning, listen, don't compromise in areas, because we don't just, I want you to see this. Let me go back for a moment. Hezekiah took from the gold and silver in the temple, paying the king of Assyria, expecting that the king would be satisfied. And the Bible says the king wasn't satisfied after that. He took from the place where he was not supposed to take money or gold. And I figured out sometimes, and hear me out, this is me as well this morning. I made this mistake in the past, and again, I'm not immune from making that same mistake. Is when pressure mounts towards our time, what gives in first? I've got enough time, man. It's so busy. It appears to be that a lot of time I notice that we spend a little bit less time with God because there's some extra time there. I can take some of that time because I'm suddenly so busy now. I didn't have enough time to pray anymore and spend time with God. So that's a bit of, in our minds, that's become a negotiable. So it's almost like that is the part we'd be negotiating. When our finances get tough, when it's a tough time in our finances, where is it the easiest to take from? Because it's just a thing between you and God, eh? Nobody would know. Hmm? Yeah. Nobody checking up on you, tell you, listen,
did you pay your tithe or contribution, whatever you, how you see it?
No, it's just between me and God. So I can bargain with God. God, just sit aside for a moment. Just have to cover a couple of other things. I'm just saying, people, if those are not non-negotiables in your life, enemy is going to come and try and push. And if you haven't made up your mind and say, listen, I'm not going to compromise in this area, he's going to come back. Don't pay. Listen, don't pay the king of Assyria with the gold of the heavenly king. And it's not just money here I'm talking about. That's prophetically speaking here. You got to make up your mind this year what is precious to me, what is special to me, what is holy to me. Even if it's your family, even if it's your time with whatever it might be, what that is valuable to you, that is actually belonging to the heavenly king, don't take some of that and give it to the king of Assyria, because he will never be satisfied. Don't believe that lie. Warren Buffett, the CEO of Coca-Cola, a couple of years, made a speech to his staff, and he said, you know, life is like a few balls that we continuously have to juggle. Work, family, our health, and our spirit. Five balls that we continuously have to think about. How do I keep that into the air? And it's sometimes difficult. He says, of all those balls, all of them are made of glass, except for one, the work one. That one is a rubber ball. And we tend to focus so much on our work, and I'm not saying you shouldn't work, please hear me out, you should work. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat, the Bible says. But yeah, we tend to give everything there because we just want this better life and everything, and we spend all our time away from our family, time away from God, a lot of things because we just want to. And here's the thing that Warren said, yeah, or Brian said, sorry. Think about Warren Buffett. Work is like that. If we drop one of that balls, it will always bounce back. I mean, you can get another job tomorrow. Would you agree with me? Huh? You might not get the same job, but you can get something else. If, as long as you, and I believe this with my whole heart, as long as you want to work, there will be work for you. I'm not sure that you will get paid, but there will be work for you. Huh? There's enough work in this world for anybody that wants to work. And somebody will find you, and God knows your address, and he will find you, and he'll get you. If you want to work. I think this is the problem. I mean, I don't want to go down politics here this morning, but that's probably the problem with many of us. We just don't want to work. We tell ourselves we want that perfect job, and when we get that perfect job, then we work. But anyway, here's the thing. If we drop any of those other balls, family, our spirit, our health life, they're made of glass, and they will irrevocably be scuffed, damaged, or completely destroyed. Where's our priorities for this morning? Where do we tend to compromise? It's important in this story, applying to us this morning. What are the non-negotiables in my life? Do not compromise this year. People sit down this year or early in this year and put those markers down. Ask yourself, what are the things, where do I want to go, and what are the things that I cannot negotiate on, that I cannot move? Verse 25. Can we go there? What's more, do you think we have invaded your land with? Listen now. Now, what happens here? Let me give you the background quickly. So that, the commander of the chief of the army of Assyria stands outside the walls, and he speaks to the people, to the three men up on the wall, and the rest of the people inside there. And he says this: What more do you think we have invaded your land without the Lord's direction? I want you to notice this. This is the Gentile on the outside speaking to God's king on the inside, or to his people on the inside. And he says, listen, God has sent us to this country, to this nation, to come anyway. God has sent us. By the way, take note of that. The Lord himself told us, attack this land and destroy it. So we've got the Lord in the inside and we've got the Lord on the outside. Both people hearing the Lord. Confusion. That's all I can tell you. Let's go to the next one. Don't listen to Ezekiah. Now, this is a couple of verses on. So they have this long speech. You go and read that yourself. It's chapter 18 and 19. It's a very long. But They continue to try and infiltrate here. And then he says, don't listen to Hezekiah the king. He's speaking to his men around him. He says, these are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. Make peace with me, open the gates and come out. Then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drinking from your own well. Oh man, isn't that the enemy's tactic? You just get out of that place and I'll create a nice place for you. Then you can drink from this well. Then you can enjoy it over here. It's not as good there as it is here. And don't listen to, by the way, don't listen to the king. Don't listen to the leader. Let me tell you, I've heard from God. Come here. There's a nice place here for you that I can create. A nice garden that you can drink from. Oh, the tactic of the enemy hasn't changed. It's actually just such a fool. If we just read scripture, you will see this occurring all the time. Then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one. Isn't this what the enemy does with us? He wants to get us out of this land into another land. And he will tell you, these people do not like you. Those people are not for you. Just get over to this land. This is better here. You can do what you want to do in this land. But here, they tell you what you need to do. That sounds like church to me. Safe places, people. Safe places. But in this place, safe place. Nobody's telling you what you should do. Nice land here. Own land. A land of grain and new wine, bread and vineyards, olive groves and honey. Choose life instead of death. Amen. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Can't you get it more straight? Don't listen to Hezekiah when he tries to mislead you by saying, the Lord will rescue us. And it's the same one that just said, the Lord send us here. Amen. Where did that voice come from? Who's speaking there? Huh? Do you see that? That verse 32 up to 32. You see, we walk in this life not always knowing what to do. And therefore we need the voice of God in us. But let's take a few steps back. Before you came to meet Jesus Christ, before he became an active living reality in your life, all of us had some sense of moral values inside of us that helps us, and God has planted that in our hearts, okay? Unfortunately, over a period of time with generations, some of that stuff just gets so messed up. But mostly in a conservative environment, the majority of people has some form of moral value that helps us distinguish between right and wrong. Romans talks about that. About God's judgment or how he will judge people that never met Jesus Christ. That's a discussion for another day. But all of us have got that some form of, listen, I can't do this. I can't kill that person because it's not right. You don't have to worship Jesus to know that that is wrong. God has planted it there. And the reality is then when we get to know Christ, when we live in that environment, we think that is our relationship with God until you get to know the real Christ and you realize, whoa, actually I didn't know him. That was just some sort of religious, moral value that I still have that is good. Then he brings you into a place of relationship. And when he comes into a place of relationship, suddenly we become aware of his voice in our lives. Okay? Suddenly people say, I heard God speaking to me. It's not that God never spoke to you. If you look back in your own life, you would realize he was trying to call you, trying to get your attention, but we were just absent. We're just somewhere else. So it's not God's fault. It's just us becoming aware of God's voice in our lives in that moment. Maybe situation was so desperate that we are at that space that we actually listen now. Because when it's good, we don't listen. It tend to look like that. But here's the thing. Then we have a responsibility to continuously pursue God in that relationship so that we would know his voice. We have a situation here where the king is on the inside and is known for a good king, known to be a king that serves God, that knows his voice, that speaks to him. And then we have another one on the outside that says, we are here being sent from the Lord. So we've got two voices speaking here. I want you to see this, because this is very important here this morning, people. The longer our walk with God, the greater responsibility he lays upon us. The more he entrusts us with, the greater the responsibility to spend quality time with our Lord. Because deception, I want you to listen this out. Deception doesn't take place out there in the world in the bar. It takes place, and I want to say a spiritual environment, because many of those that use the same lingo, listen, when they were standing, they were speaking in Hebrew. Why did they do that? To confuse the people inside. So they talk the right language. I figured this out. In a spiritual environment, and some of them are not in church, they use the right lingo. God said, God said, God said, God said. Have you heard about that? And I also think God said, God said, God said, and we have a two God says here, and it's a tug of war here now suddenly. Well, to who did God speak to? And we got to make sure, listen, and it's a responsibility of all of us. You can have confusion in your own marriage. God said, God said, and God said, God said, and it's all of this. Or confusion in the church and confusion in any group because there's God said, God said. Why? And if you don't spend time with the Lord, sufficient time with the God, you will not recognize His voice. It's going to become tougher. Oh man, this is not good news, but you got to know His voice. Because if you are not confident in God's voice, guess what? The one on the outside will tell you God said. And you got to know which way. Are we going to make peace? Are we going to open up the gates so the enemy can come in and we believe him? And then we're going to have another land and we're going to live in that land? Or we're going to say, listen, I know God's voice. You're lying. You're a liar. Repent. Only thing is, and I've said it in the past so many times, you know, you wouldn't believe how many people has come to me to tell me God said. And then I listen it out. Obviously, I can't be arrogant and say, you know what. But I listen and I have to check. And I'll come back and I'll help you now. How do you discern between when it's God? But the thing is, I've seen so many of us say, God said, God said, God said. And then eventually when time runs out and things play out, and what we said would happen didn't happen, we never come back to say, oh, God didn't say it was a mistake, by the way, sorry. I would appreciate so much more when people just take responsibility for their words. So I've learned very early in my walk with the Lord that I tend not to use those words too often unless I'm very sure that God said. But the most of the time, can I give you a tip? This is just a practical tip. Rather just say, I sense God is saying. Because it creates some room for error. That's true. Yeah. So, I mean, God doesn't lie. There must be just me that missed God. I mean, we miss God from time to time. But it lays the responsibility upon me to go back and say, you know what, I missed him, but I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to spend more time with him so that I recognize his voice. And that we remain humble and we're not arrogant, because we want to add, and this is what I figured out with those that are outside in the spiritual environment where deception is so easy, because there's some truth and there's some lies there. That's why I say it happens within that spiritual environment. Not necessarily in church. I don't want you to be antagonistic towards church and say, you know what, I don't want to be in the church because this is typically. No, this is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying people are there for their own agenda. It's the different things that's happening around there. It's just the reality of that in the spiritual mind. But you've got to know that you know when is it God that's speaking. So that the enemy doesn't enter in. Be careful who you listen to. There are people out there who tell you, God said, be careful, it will influence you. It will affect your spirit. It will contaminate you. If you are not in a place where you can distinguish God's voice, that voice will speak to you. Stand your ground. But know that you know, God, I know your voice. I know your plans for my life. I know where you're taking us. And nobody can come and confuse you. But here's the thing, how you measure that. Let me give you a tip here. Apart from the fact that you spend time with God, I measure fruit. And I've got two types of fruit that I measure. I measure personal fruit, character fruit. Don't tell me God said in your life is falling apart. You're not in a good space. Go back, sort that out. And then secondly, and I see it in ministries, I talk about ministry fruit, not just character fruit. Don't talk about God said. Show me the people that you've been affecting lately. Show me the people that you've been leading to the Lord. Show me the people that you've been spending with that is making a change, that's changed as a result of you being present in their lives and Christ inside of you. Too many of us want to direct this way, but there's no fruit. People, we need to be, wake up, wake up. I'm not trying to sow fear, I'm just saying this is it's the reality. God said, God didn't say. I wish we can just be a bit more cautious with the Lord's voice sometimes and not make it cheap. Because what we tend to do, and I think that's what happened there as well, we haven't got enough authority in our own voice. So what do? What God said. I tend to refrain and away from that because, listen here, when you move with the Lord, when He establishes you, you can speak and people will listen because they know you are with the Lord. You don't always have to say, God said. Because you are a man of character. You're a man that has got fruit and people will listen. And it doesn't make us immune that we sometimes miss it. I've missed God's voice. And don't be too hard on yourself, please. Please don't be too hard on yourself. Don't take yourself to a place that you say, oh, I'll never hear God's voice again. No, God just does that from time to time just to keep us humble. Just as we don't get used to a specific technique. That's the thing. But we get used to His voice. See, the saving grace for these people here in this story, for the people inside, because you have to remember what happened here is the commander of the army of the Assyrians stands on the outside, speaks to them in Hebrew. He says to them, listen, don't listen to Hezekiah. God sent us here. Hezekiah is trying to mislead you. I want you to come out. We're going to give you a better land. Surrender. But why? What happened that kept them not from having confusion? I mean, they could have decided, listen, Hezekiah, you're one man, we're the group here. We're just going to decide, you know, we've summarized the situation, we're in trouble. I mean, think about that. There are more people on the outside. So if you really have fear inside of you, listening to the wrong person at the wrong time, you can make a potentially big mistake here. But the Bible says, and you can read that yourself, Hezekiah commanded them not to have a conversation with him and not to listen to them. And the Bible said they didn't. Wow. Talk about unity. Talk about tough times when we got to follow command, when we got to say, listen, we're going this direction. You're going to listen now. Don't talk to the enemy. Don't have a conversation because he's going to deceive you. People, there's a lesson here for us. I don't want to forecast them or predict something or prophesy something. But if there's one thing we need to learn is that when it's tough times, we need to take commands. We need to know, listen, we're going this direction. If they, for that moment, decided, if doubt entered into their hearts, and they thought, you know what, the leader didn't, he doesn't know God's voice, this one knows God's voice, or whatever it might be, there's safety in the group. There's safety in that place. If they decided they could have missed out, or they probably would have surrendered the city, and there would have been confusion. I'm not preaching this because I'm trying to expect something here. I apply this because it applies to me as well here. We got to embrace leadership in our lives. If it's your marriage or some other places, all out. I'm not just talking about you. We got to embrace community in our lives. It's safe spaces. It's safe spaces away from the enemy, where the confusion and the voices of the other one wouldn't come and numb us away. Listen, the last part of this, 2 Kings, and this is the exciting part. 2 Kings 19, verse 14 to 16. I thought about preaching shorter, and now I am disappointed in myself. So, I was really hoping for a short one this morning. But I get excited about this. King Hezekiah sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. Wrong. 19, verse 19. Let me page over. This is scripture, and before I share that, in verse 19, verse 5, and I really believe, or verse 6, this is for somebody here this morning. I want you to listen this out, because as I was preparing, and this is just a bonus, so maybe God is saying something here. The prophet Isaiah goes to the king goes to the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah sends him back with this one word, and I believe this is a word for the people, some of you. Say to your master, this is what the Lord says, do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech. And I sense some of us are disturbed by the wrong conversation. God says, stop being disturbed by that conversation. There's the thing. When Hezekiah came back with the message, he gets the letter from the message from Isaiah, and he gets the letter from the king, other king, and says, we're going to take this, and we're going to capture the city. And I love what's taking place here. This is the favorite. After verse 14, chapter 19, look in your Bibles. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple, and he spread it open before the Lord. Man, you got to pay attention here, because we're going somewhere here. Listen to you. And spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of earth. You alone created the heavens and earth. This is talking about the glory of God. This is not about God help me. I mean, talk about, and I want to say it, when we recently had Michael Howard visiting here, the impartation of God, you are God. Those of you who attended that was the main impartation, getting us back to that place. It's not about our prayer requests, but God, you are God. It's about your glory. And listen here. You alone created the heavens and earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words, these defying words. He spreads out this letter before the king, or before the king. The Sennacherib's words of defiance against the king of God. And he carries on, and then look at verse 19. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, our God. Man. And then the Lord replies, excuse me, verse 34. Wow, the Bible says, desires came back in with the message, and the Lord says this, verse 34, for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend him, the city, and protect it. God's answer. Do you know what happened here? And this is where we got to, this is the only part in the scripture. You forget about the rest if you want to. If you can't, you got to pay attention now. When things got tough, when he's really at the place that he sees Hezekiah, now there's no other way. This one is coming. He goes to the Lord with these defiant words and said, Lord, this is about your glory. This is not about me right now. Look at these words. God is about you and you alone. And then what does God do? God says, well, listen, if it's for my glory, I'll step in. Amen. There's a message here, people. I want you to see this in Scripture. I've seen this pattern here. And if you get this morning. Look at Scripture here this morning. It runs all through Scripture. Exodus 14, verse 13. So the Lord said, listen, just wait there. I'm going to take control of the situation because it's about my glory. You just sit there and wait. And the next morning we know they woke up and 185,000 people died because God stepped into. Because it was for his glory. Look at this, Exodus 14, verse 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. This is now as they stand in front of the Red Sea. Moses never seen that the Lord is going to open the Red Sea. I mean, he's speaking in faith before he's even, I mean, who would have believed that the waters will part? Crazy man. Talk about faith. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. I mean, they're approaching and they're standing with their walls to the back. Back to the wall. Sorry. I'm Demacarol. It's the time that I should land the plane. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Now stand, listen, look at verse 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. This is when Elijah was on the mountain. Look at 2 Chronicles 21, verse 15. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hey, man, those favorite words. I love it. So he answered, 2 Kings 6, verse 16. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hey, man, that's the kind of God we serve. But there's a key in this. And I want you to notice this, and this is what I want to send you home with this morning as we enter into this year. I heard in my spirit as I was preparing this that the Lord said this to me. If you live for my glory, if you live for my glory, I will always fight for you. But if you live for yourself, and it's possible this morning within a spiritual environment, within the church, to live for yourself. I want to say that for the record. We can be amongst people Sunday after Sunday still living not for God's glory. But if you live for God's glory, He will fight for you. If you live for yourself, you always have to fight for yourself. You have to defend yourself. You have to come in and say, why? And then you have to, all of that. But God will vindicate you. God will come through when you live for Him. See, whatever God commands us, the commands He blesses. And godly intervention comes when we live for His glory. So here's my homework for you this morning. We all have dreams for this year, eh? We all want to go somewhere, hopefully. I want to go some places. Come on, amen. Don't be so spiritual for a moment. That's good. Enjoy life. We all want to spend our time somewhere. We all want to give somewhere of ourselves, hopefully. We all want to give something here towards finishing but standing on the other side. We all have good intentions to do all of that, hey? And we all have a lot of other plans. But I'm asking you this morning, before you run into this year, maybe you should just have a moment of spreading it out before the Lord. Say, God, I'm planning to do this. And God, I want to do this. And God, I want to go there. And God, I want to give some of my time and whatever it might be. Color that yourself. Spread it out before the Lord. And then you ask the Lord, just bring glory to you. I'm not saying your holiday is not bringing. Please don't go down that route. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we tend to give a lot of our time towards stuff and things. But eventually, at the end of the year, all I want to ask is, God, did this glorify you? Because that's the place where we want to occupy, where we want to stay, that safe space. I mean, I tell you what, it's a great relief when you move in that place. Because you don't have to fight always. God fights for you. Do you want God to fight for you? Spread it out before Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.